Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh my God.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number two of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. Big drafting weekend. I know you're done, George. At least you think you're done. But unless, you know, someone calls you up, hey, want to join a league? Yeah, I have a draft tonight. I have one Tuesday. A lot of people drafting. NFBC is drafting in Las Vegas. High-stakes games there. The main event, they were drafting in New York City last week. Do you actually look, George, let's say when you're done drafting, I kind of know what the answer is going to be, but you know, a lot of times, you know, you'll draft and you'll get a draft grade. Do you pay attention to that at all?
Oh God, no. those things are garbage. Nobody should be looking at those, right? That you all you're being graded on is the one person who set up the rankings for that site. That's it. Mm-hmm. Actually, the auto drafter would probably get the best grade because he drafted exactly what they told you to do.
Right.
The next
right.
player on the board. So no. I would never. I don't know where to look to find that. That's silly. And I said, I know people get all upset about, oh, I was thinking, who cares? Really, mm-hmm. Who cares? Listen, on any site that you do these drafts on, any of them, CBS, you know, Yahoo, ESPN, you'll find players that are ranked, what? What do you mean this guy's 418th? What's going on here? You know, yeah, all the time. There are lots of guys like that I have to make sure I go through the whole queue, make sure I put them in my queue because they're ranked so low I'll never see them.
Right,
all the time. You know, I said all the time. So, no, I don't care about the draft grade.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah, I agree with you. You have to – you do your own evaluation, and you got to, you know, at least – and then also that, I guess, leads us into a second about, you know, overreacting. I mean, you know, some people might have seen Ramon Laureano striking out a few times in the opening series for the Mariners. Maybe they were high on him as an outfielder. All of a sudden, well, he struck it. Well, maybe I need to get rid of this guy. I mean, you can't overreact, obviously, especially, and we always say this, you know, the fantasy baseball season is a marathon, not a sprint, right?
Yes, it's not like football, okay? You have to have patience. I mean, there are so many things with baseball. A guy could get off to a slump, you know, right away, and he goes, you know, 2-for-24. You wouldn't care about this in July, but because it happens in April, you're all worried. Mm-hmm. You know, the reverse could be true too. Maybe they'll go to a hot start, you know, and they won't be able to keep it up later on. Or maybe they don't hit well in cold weather. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't, right? You and I both know it's cold here in the Northeast.
Sure.
And the Yankee home opener on Thursday, 49 is the high.
Mm-hmm.
It can be sunny, but 49 is the high. It's not going to be fun there for the entire weekend. It's not going to be all that much fun for Yankees. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, you'll be seeing this, a lot of these players wearing their for the first month of the season, seems to be a lot of players wearing these. They've adapted these ski mask kind of, you know, dormants to their.
They go a little overboard. I think a lot of these baseball players aren't used to the cold weather. I mean,
right.
A 49 isn't pleasant, mm-hmm. but it's not brutal. My God, when mm-hmm. you're dying, they're still wearing the ski mask, the you know, those things where it covers the everything. I was like, come on, guys, let's you know. I understand at night where it feels a little cold, but during the day, I think you're being a little dressy. If it's windy, okay, I get that too. But mm-hmm. you know, I go outside all the time here. I barely have a sweatshirt on. I'm wearing
shorts.
You're
a man's man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm just an idiot. Could go either way.
No, I wouldn't call you an idiot, but let's go on and continue breaking down this NL East. Like I mentioned before we went to commercial, the Nationals finished the season 82-80 last season. Over under for them is 89. Of course, like we mentioned, Bryce Harper has moved on to the Phillies.
Really?
Yeah,
when that happened?
He's gone. You see that home run he hit this week, by the way?
Which one? The two in the same
The first one. Yeah. The first one. He just crushed. That's the one I saw live. Just crushed it.
Getting that timing down.
Mm-hmm. By the way, how much of the first two games were you watching? I'm sure you DVR'd it and probably had it in the background. I don't know if you got up at 5:30 in the morning.
I did not get up at 5:30 in the morning. That wasn't happening. Truth is, Joe, even if the Yankees were playing there, I wouldn't have gotten up at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I would have DVR'd the Yankees and just watched and just kept off social media and watched it when I woke up, which is generally around 7:30. Right. I get up with my girls, get up from school. I did not DVR the games. No, I had very little interest. I mean, it's Seattle, Oakland, so it's not exactly a marquee matchup. It's played in a dome. I really hate baseball in a dome, so it's nothing for me to watch. I like games being played outdoors. So I said I had very little interest. So as far as that's concerned, I did watch the last. I think I woke up. One game was in the sixth inning. The other game was in the seventh inning. So I saw the last third of the game or so.
Yeah, I watched some of it, but I didn't set the alarm, and I was just curious to see what Kikuchi would look like. It seems like he seemed okay, and of course, Domingo Santana with his grand slam getting a lot of attention and jumping up in his ADP, of course. But so
coochie-coo.
Exactly. So all right, so back to the Nationals. So Trey Turner. Basically, manager said, hey, we're just going to let him run wild. I mean, what are we thinking about this guy? 41 stolen bases last year, 271 batting average, 19 home runs. Do you think that prediction that he's going to steal, 40, 50, 60? I mean, 40 is definitely doable, right? I mean, but do we think that they're just going to let this guy run wild this year?
Listen, what managers say and what they actually do are two different things. I think 40, assuming health, is a lock.
Yes.
Could he get 50, 60, 70? Wouldn't shock me, but I'll take my 40. He's a first-round pick. I've seen him go anywhere from fourth to pretty much 11th in the first round. I don't think I've seen him drop into the second round in any league that I've been in. So people are buying and they're believing. He's a very good to great player anyway. Mm-hmm. Even with just with 30, if he sold 30 bases, he's still a great player. But the fact that everybody's thinking he might steal 50 plus, it's pretty much. I mean, I think the reason why he's so valuable is he alone probably gets you top three in the stolen base category.
Mm-hmm.
Just with normal players behind.
Definitely
him,
a good base to have.
Right, it's an excellent base. So he solves one category all by himself, and he's a great player anyway. He's not a one category guy for a speed guy. He can hit 20 home runs and edges some power there. He'll get his runs. The average will be good. So I think that's why we love Trey Turner. I've got him in a couple of leagues. I was able to get him early. I wouldn't. For me, the draft goes Trout, Betts, Ramirez. Then I'm pretty much thinking either I'm taking Scherzer or J.D. Martinez. One of those two guys there. So that's 4 or 5. Turner, I look at six, and I probably think Arenado's still ahead of him. So I'm probably taking Arenado at 6, and then Turner's right around the middle of the first round, 7-8.
You didn't mention Yelich, right? Yelich is after that, or did I miss
it? I think Yelich is after that, yeah. Once I need to see him do it again before I start putting him in the category. I have no problem with Yelich, none. He's a first-round guy. But I think I like the guy. Well, everybody I mentioned, I like above him. If you want to take Yelich at 7 and Turner at 8, I don't have any issue with it.
Mm-hmm. And Acuna?
Once again, you know me, Joe. I'm a conservative guy. I need to see you do it again. He had a great year, and I believe, but I'm not taking him first round. I'll take him second round. I'm not taking him first round. I'm not passing up. All those guys are just named. I'll throw Aaron Judge in there, Machado, Harper. These guys have done it over and over and over again. I need to see him do it again.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. All right. So Turner, I haven't had an opportunity to land him yet, but I'm hoping in these next two drafts I get at least one piece of him. But I think he's got obviously he has the skill set, but not only that, but he's worked on, getting on base more. His on base percentage last season, .344. Walking more went up from 6.7 walk per nine the year before to last year to 9.3. Obviously, if you're going to steal bases, you got to get on base, right? Doesn't chase bad pitches. Just 20 home run potential, I think, eventually. I mean, had 19 last year. As he gets older, I think he could end up being maybe a 20 to 25. I'm not talking 30, 35, but he could sneak in a 20, 25 home run season for you. And give him the benefit of the doubt in terms of his batting average, that 271, you know, if he gets on base more, a good contact rate, maybe talk maybe 280, 285. So I think we're in agreement where I would like to have a piece of him in one of my next two drafts as well. But let's move on to Anthony Rendon. He's a career 367 OBP guy. So, I mean, that's something, especially a lot of, not a lot, but more and more leagues moving to OBP as a category, George.
Which they should. I think as far as category, I think OBP is over average. You know, I think quality starts is over wins. I truly do. I like net stolen bases. You know, I think that's be interesting as well. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, it is what it is. Anthony Rendon, we've already heard that Washington wanted to sign him to a big long-term contract. Didn't work out, at least not yet. So we'll see how that plays out here. I do have some shares of Rendon, a player I like. Maybe one of the best players that no one really talks about as being a superstar. Sort of guy there. And maybe it's because he did have an off year and a half where he struggled. And last year seemed to put it all together. We'll see what happens this year without Harper in that lineup. You know, I think that could change some things as well. You know, he's now the main focus, sort of. You know, you want to put Soto and Turner in there, fine. But he's the main power guy there. So we'll see how that works out for him. But I'm a Rendon guy.
Yeah. I led the league in doubles last year. So he had 24 home runs, batted 308 last year. Maybe more of those doubles turn into home runs, and he could give you upwards of 30 home runs. I say two straight seasons, less than 14% strikeout rate, just a 5.8 swinging strike rate. So definitely a guy that you're right. I think early in his career, he was you know, there were some issues with him staying on the field, but you know, good. Hard hit rate, tied for the highest one of his career. Doesn't chase the bad pitches as well, just like Trey Turner. So big things ahead, again, for Anthony Rendon. Owned him last year. Haven't had the pleasure so far this year, but we'll see. Two more drafts, George, two more drafts. Brian Dozier, last season, 215, 21 home runs, 12 stolen bases. Previous to that, looked like he had turned the corner because early in his career, it was a kind of a drain on your batting average, but a guy that could obviously hit for some power and some stolen bases. I believe he played part of last season with a right knee bone bruise. Maybe that could have contributed to his problems at the plate. I mean, other than that, I don't really see any obvious reason for a downturn in his stats. I mean, do you think this guy could give you a little bit of a bounce back in terms of, you know, when you talk bounce back for him? I don't think he's ever going to be a 290 hitter, but you know, we're talking maybe a 240, 250 hitter, you know, that get those home runs up into the upper 20 and range, and maybe you know, get those stolen bases up to about 15. You think he could be a bounce back candidate?
Well, the negativity around Dozier would be changing leagues. Didn't work well at all. Now, you mentioned the bone bruise. Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe it's not the changing of leagues. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but either way, was he a creature of habit? And, you know, you see this happened all the time. God, once you get out of your comfort zone, you go to a new state. People forget that these players are all human.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when they move to a new city, they got to get a new place to live, a new place to go out, to shop, and all this other stuff.
Great point.
He's got a family. You got to bring this all. It's so much upheaval that happens. You know, it's just, people just think, oh, it's baseball play, he'll be fine. No, it's not. Just think of you yourself were just traded. All of a sudden, you know, Mike Cardona goes, Joe Galina, Joe, listen, we're trading you to Case, you know, KRX2 in Iowa. You know, good luck. You know, nice knowing you. Thanks for all your hard work. Good luck in Iowa. And you're done. Next day, you have to go to Iowa. I mean, it's got to be a strange thing. It can't be the easiest thing. You know, you're a young player. You're single. Maybe it's no big deal. You go play in a new city. That's competing. Great. Now, Dozier went to Washington. Ballpark, not the greatest for hitters, not the greatest at all for hitters. And once again, he's had an offseason now to get used to the National League. So you think that helps some. I think he will be better than last year. I do. And I sort of hope what you said. All right, the average is going to hurt you. All right, even when in his best of years, it hurt you. You know, in fantasy, you want to hit around 270, 271, 272. That's average. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to hit below that. But 215, I can't have that. I can't have Joey Gallo. You know, because Joey Gallo's going to at least hit 40 home runs. Dozier's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's got to do better than that. He's got to hit around 250 for me. I think he is another comeback player of the year candidate, if you're looking for one. I think he's going to have a better year. I just think it's this. If I take Dozier, it's because, man, second baseman flew off the board. Boy, I got caught late in that way. I couldn't get the guy I wanted. Well, guys I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, there. I would take there's a lot of guys I'm looking for before Dozier. Obviously, the stars there, but I would take Robinson Cano certainly over him. D. Gordon, because I want my stolen bases. Sure, because once again, it's walking the ball flies out of there. Villar, same thing, stolen base. I'll take a category guy above him. So he's after all these guys, and then it's like, okay, Dozier, because I don't want to get stuck with Boy, after that, Moncada, I don't trust him. Cesar Hernandez, yeah, playing time could be an issue there, and he's already banged up with the hip issues. DJ LeMahieu, who I really like, but he has no position right now. Right. So that's what I'm worried about there. But I do like Dozier, but he's somebody, like I said, that I end up with.
You like DJ LeMahieu as a fantasy player?
No. Mm-hmm. No position. I think the Yankees eventually
You know, I was just going to say, you know, he'll give you a batting average, but I felt that pretty much other than that, not much more. But you're right, he's going to be bouncing around on the Yankees roster for a little bit, no?
He's going to have to. Mm-hmm. And he's literally going to have to because where's he going to play? The Yankees seem to want to die with Tulowitzki. Now, I don't think that's going to work. I don't. I took it in that one big league that I play in the 40-man roster. I have both LeMahieu and Tulowitzki. This way I have a starter. You know, I'll dump Tulis. He's going to get hurt. He's not doing all that great in spring training. He looks like he's behind the fastball here. And I think teams are going to pound him with the fastball until he proves he can catch up to it. So, no, but LeMahieu, I think LeMahieu is a better player. I think at this point he's definitely a better player, but he has no place to play. I think the best Yankee team right now is Gleyber Torres at short, LeMahieu at second.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good point there. Soto and Robles, any shares of them? Have you been able to accumulate or look to grab any of them this preseason?
Sure. Fair amount of shares. Like both players. More of Soto than of Robles. I think, once again, Soto, you worry about the sophomore slump. Adjustments will be made. A lot of pressure on him now to provide that lefty power. Mm-hmm. Right? A lot of pressure on him to replace what Harper lost. Not that he can be Harper, but to replace what he lost there. So you have to be careful there, but I do like Soto. Robles, I mean, I worry where they're going to put him in the batting order. Speed is a little bit part of his game, and if he's going to bat eighth for any part of the season, he's not going to run there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't run batting eighth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing I found so impressive about Soto last year, as a rookie, 60% walk rate. Real good plate discipline, man. So we'll finish up with the Nationals and continue breaking down the NL East right here. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rush takes us out. Good job, Sean.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right. Roll over, Beethoven. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. I couldn't pronounce that guy's name. We're back here. Roto Experts in the Morning, George. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Play a little air guitar there, George.
It's a good little tune, right? It's a good little tune. Roll over Beethoven. I have it somewhere. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Who sings that?
Not Little Richard. Help us out there, Sean.
That was actually supposed to be Johnny B. Good.
And it was Johnny B. Good?
Yeah, by Chuck Berry.
There you go. Okay. 50s tune, though, right?
Yes. But that's a good tune as well. I think I have that someplace as well. You know, my neighbor, who the one who moved, he had like 400 CDs. You know,
wow.
And he wasn't taking them with him, which I thought was silly. Mm-hmm. You got to buy one of those cases where you just take the CD out, you know, and just put it in the case, which it takes up no room. I guess he didn't have time to do it. But, you know, I went through them all. I took the ones I wanted, and then I donated them to a library. So I did my good deed for the decade yesterday.
Very nice. Very nice. Amazing how, you know, everything can move to digital at this stage, right? But, you know, but I find that, you know, vinyl has been making a comeback the past couple of years. For a while, my son was just buying vinyl like crazy. And, you know, you could pick up some decent albums for a couple of bucks in some of these shops.
You can. If you look around, you can. And you're right. Vinyl, it's never going to be mainstream again, but it's making sort of a comeback here, which is nice to see. It's nice to see. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Makes me feel relevant, right? You know, because that's what I grew up listening to. There's nothing like listening to an LP album, just the fullness of the sound, in my opinion.
Agreed. Listen, I still have my CDs. I haven't gotten rid of them. I don't really listen to them, except in the car, maybe. And even that, I don't have to. Between, you know, you could, you know, play music off your phone if you want, or whatever else you want to hear. But I still got about 300 CDs, I think.
Nice, nice. When are you going to be donating them to the library?
Never.
Mine. All right, so let's finish off with the Nationals. You know, you can't draft this guy or whatnot, but Ryan Zimmerman, man, if this guy could only just stay healthy, I mean, he's had a tough spring, but just a guy that year after year after year just can't seem to stay on the field. 1 year removed from 33 homers and 108 RBIs. But any other guys on this team that can spike some interest? What about Adam Eaton? I mean, is his potential ceiling worth a roster spot in a 12-team or below league, or is he more valuable, let's say, in deeper leagues?
Well, I mean, Adam Eaton's value went up when Michael Taylor got hurt, because now he's not going to be in that platoon. Mm-hmm. Right? He was going to be in that platoon, so that was going to be a problem, even though he'd be on the good end of the platoon. Because once again, when you're in a platoon, you always want to be the left-hander, because you face more right-handers in baseball. So that would have been okay. He's definitely a draft pick. Once again, outfield of 4, outfield of 5. He's going to steal some bags. He doesn't have that limp anymore. If you remember, coming off the ACL last year, he had a limp. Yeah, he was still feeling the effects of it. This year, not so much. The ACL said this over and over again. I've had that surgery. You can play in 6 to 8 months, but you don't feel really great for 2 years. Mm-hmm. That's where you feel fine again. And that's about what it takes here. And that's where he's at. So I think he'll be fine. But once again, what's going to happen when Taylor comes back? Taylor should be back, it looks like, also May-ish, June. Will that platoon take effect again? That'll lessen his value a little bit. So that's what you're looking out for here. I have no problem with Eaton now. Once again, outfield of 4, you know, or below. It's great. But his value lessens when Taylor returns.
Gotcha. Okay. Starting pitching, I mean, everyone knows about Scherzer. Strasburg is, you know, over his career, been a bit injury prone. But, look, you know, when healthy, he's a good pitcher. Patrick Corbin, I mean, everyone's going to be drafting them. What about Anibal Sanchez? Last year, 24 starts, 2.83 ERA, 1.083 whip. His ERA estimators, you know, the FIPs, the XFIPs, they all put his ERA closer to 3.8. I mean, which is okay for where you're going to be drafting him or picking him up. I mean, threw his cutter a bunch more last season. That might have helped him. Very effective. Batting average against that cutter was 195. Any interest in Anibal Sanchez? I know everyone's interested, obviously, in Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin. They're going to be drafted and whatnot. But Sanchez, do you think that he could build upon last season?
Why did he pitch so well last season? That's my once again always my first question. 35 years old, you know, obviously he's up there in age. Why did he pitch so well last year? 1 year fluke, you know, it wasn't like his fastball got better. He only throws the ball average under 91. Mm-hmm. So did he all of a sudden become a pitcher? You know, a lot of these guys, and you know this, Joe, we all know this. You know, when they used to throw the ball hard, they just throw the ball by people. And then once they can't do that anymore, you think CeCe's a bat here. It takes them a while to realize, oh, crap, I got to be a pitcher now. Got to move the ball in, out, up, down, change speeds, you know, keep these hitters off balance. Is that what he's done now? Was this just a one-year fluke thing? Goes to Washington, a very good pitcher's ballpark. So I've been drafting him late as a look-see. You know, look-see. Let's see what's going to happen. You know, let's see what's going to happen. So that's why, you know, where I am with him. I don't mind grabbing him late. I've got him in a couple of leagues. Late, like I said, in the reserve round. He'll be a backup for me. I'll see what happens here. Because I want to see what if it's true for last year or just, you know, no, thank you. Because he worries me some. But I like the ballpark he's pitching in. I like the team, you know, that sort of thing here. He's in on that range. All right, do I want to play like Sanchez or would I rather have Trevor Rosenthal, a guy who's a top setup man, protect my ratios, who might get saves at some point?
Right.
You know, that's where he's at. What do you want? What do you want, Joe? You want your innings and more strikeouts, better chance for wins, or do you want to protect those ratios with a shot at saves? I think it depends on what kind of team you have. Did you get closers early? Are you solid at closers? Then you may want to go with Sanchez. You know, if you're in a league where innings, you have an innings limit, then you may have to get Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in one league where it's 35 innings a week, and that's a lot. You know, I got to fill that up. I may have to go with someone like Sanchez to fill in some innings, you know, to make sure I reach that minimum. So I think a lot of this plays a part in it. But I do have some curiosity. I think that's the way to put it. I have curiosity in Sanchez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up some really good points. Did he finally become a pitcher? And then yeah, he's a veteran, so it looks like I said, I mean, started using that cutter a bunch more last season, which was effective. Basically, has gotten away from using his fastball. I mean, he's lost like three ticks off of that since 2013. So batting average against his change was 144 last year. So we'll see. I mean, but, you know, based on where you could get him, could be worth a flyer. So what are we thinking about the Nationals bullpen there, George? Sean Doolittle, I was afraid a couple weeks ago that they were looking into adding Kimbrel, but Doolittle's the guy, right?
I might have had fun playing into that fear.
Yeah.
Might have been enjoying. Yeah, well, that's pretty much just me. Doolittle's the guy. The problem with Doolittle is he's generally successful, pitches well when he has the job, but something always happens. Gets an injury, he's out there. I mean, last year, that toe injury, which was day-to-day, pretty much kept him out for months. You know, these kind of things happen to him. Rosenthal's there. I think it's just a matter of time until Rosenthal takes this job. I think he has to prove that he's back to being the pitcher he was a couple of years ago, and I think if he does that, that'll be his job eventually. It's why I brought up his name as far as a guy who you can take, who protects your ratios, and maybe by June, takes that closer job. Because once again, managers generally like right-handers to be your closer unless you're a dominating left-hander. Chapman, you know, Britton when he was at Baltimore. Of course, Billy Wagner when he was around. He's throwing the ball that hard. Doolittle's not that guy. He's more of a touchy-feel guy. The reason I say this is, once again, you face more right-handers in baseball than you do left-handers, even at for batters. And they get a better look at the left-handers. And also, just doesn't throw hard enough. Rosenthal does. So I think eventually he'll have a shot at that job. If you're looking late in your draft, if you're looking at prospective closers, guys, all right, I didn't get any closers in my league. I better go draft some people who might get a shot. Rosenthal would be that guy, one of those guys that I would take, maybe. Nothing's written in stone. Doolittle can pitch great. He's got it all year long. And I'm not just saying this to get Joe's goat either, by the way.
Yeah,
I do believe in Rosenthal.
I think he's a guy who would have a shot.
Listen, we all know what closes. There are 30 closers right now. 15 will not have the job on July 1st. I'm just betting on that Doolittle will be one of those 15.
All right. So Rosenthal definitely has a potential to take this job, according to you. And I mean, look, you have to be prepared for that. You have to draft a deep team. So what are we thinking about this this over-under of 89 for the Nationals for next year?
Well, for next year, I don't know. We'll see what they do in free agency after the season. For this year, I might easy joke.
That's
89 seems high. Doesn't that seem high to you? I mean, this is a good division, good teams outside of Miami. And you got Sanchez and Helixson as your fourth and fifth starters. I don't trust them. I don't know how the offense is going to be without Harper missing that piece. You know, Eaton, Robles, and Soto, do they feel the pressure? Do Robles and Soto feel the pressure of trying to replace Harper? A lot of pressure on Rendon as well. You need Dozier to pick it up. You already mentioned Zimmerman's really nothing here. They'll split time. He'll split time with Matt Adams at first base. I'm going to go under here. I think they're a good team, but I don't know if any team – I think if any team in the National League East can win 90 games, they win the division. I think it's a team where they're going to beat the crap out of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, you got this is a National League's not easy because you got all those games against your own division, which is tough. You know, outside once again, outside of Miami, you got to play the Cardinals. You got to play Milwaukee. You know, you got to play Cubs. They're all good teams. Dodgers, good teams. A lot of good teams here. So I don't know if anybody's going to be able to get over 90. But like I said, if anybody in the National League can, they'll win that division. I'm going to say under for Washington. I don't think they're that team that gets above 90.
Okay. I mean, I think that 89 is doable. And they have that, you know, Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin. If those top three could pitch up to their capability, I think they could reach the 89. Maybe win 90, 91. I mean, but I think that 89 number is obviously attainable. And I think it's a good number. You know, and it's funny that the Phillies also have that number of 89. They were 80 and 82 last year. And, of course, they made a lot of splashes this offseason. You know, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto. Nobody talks about Gene Segura. They picked up Gene Segura, like Gene Segura. So I guess where do we begin with? I mean, you know, there's really not much to say about Bryce Harper that isn't already known, right? I mean, at this stage, he hasn't really moved into in this final full weekend of drafts. George, I think he's still, you know, an early second-round pick, right?
For early for a second first-round pick, whatever you want to put it. I took him in a league the other day just for giggles, you know, it's just to see what would happen if I took him first. And also because I caught my first draft on, I think, using the Yahoo software, and I couldn't figure out how to draft somebody. You know, so he was a CBS and where it was doing it, and then the clock was running out, so I had to take him. Mm-hmm. I really want to take Aaron Judge. I was going off the board either way with my pick. I think I had 7th or 8th or 10th overall, somewhere around there. So either way, I was going to pick somebody who just happened. It's a home league, so I'll be all right either way. And I was going to take somebody that normally wouldn't go there just for giggles. And I really wanted Judge, but I couldn't figure out where how to draft him. Just couldn't do it. It took me a round, so I ended up taking Harper because that was the guy who was on top of my queue. So not complaining, mind you.
Not terrible.
It would have been my pick. I wanted Judge. I wanted the hometown Yankee guy. I think I'm playing against the guy for guys from Boston. That was also a reason why I wanted Judge.
Who do you have, like, maybe two or three players that are on most of your teams?
I haven't done a breakdown of it. Usually I do. And when I played in a lot of leagues, I used to write a column on it. You know, guys who are on, you know, I guess, what, 30, 40% of my teams and guys I don't have on any of my leagues. I didn't do it this year, but I can tell you guys that I know I do. Robinson Cano is on a lot of my teams. All right. Once again, I waited on second base, so I was able to grab him. Justin Verlander. I always seem to be picking – I never had a chance to get Scherzer or DeGrom in because I'm not taking a pitcher in the first round. But the second round, I was almost always taking a pitcher. And that pitcher almost always was Verlander because Scherzer, DeGrom, Sale were always gone. And it was always between Verlander or Nola. And I chose Verlander generally over Nola. Now, I have nothing against Nola. Just once again, better ballpark to pitch in than Nola, who pitches in that bandbox in Philadelphia. So Verlander's on, I would say, at least half my teams, if not more. You know, once again, I haven't done the exact breakdown. Aroldis Chapman, because I don't take I'm not the first person to take a closer, so I don't have Diaz training. But then Chapman comes shortly after that. He's a player I have on a lot of my teams. Rafael Devers at third base. He'd be my leading third baseman. Once again, I've been waiting on third base. It's somewhat deep, and I believe that Devers is going to have a breakout year this year. So he's my third baseman that's on all of my teams. There is no first baseman. I'm all over the place. I think I have a little bit of everybody. Rizzo is somebody probably the most because I'm going to take him in the third round. He's available in round three, first base. I know he's shallow, so I grab him. Carlos Santana if I'm waiting really late to first base, I'm taking Santana. That's the guy I got there. Shortstop, once again, I'm all over the place. Xander Bogaerts is probably my number one guy. When in doubt, I bank on Boston players or players playing in small ballparks. Because you know they're gonna hit some power, they're gonna bang for you, right? So those are the guys I like there. When in doubt, go for those guys. they're gonna hit some home runs. Outfielders. I don't see anybody here on this list that I have in a lot of leagues. George Springer, because I think he's going too late. I got him in a bunch of leagues. Castellanos, no one seems to want to take. I guess because
love
once
him.
Again,
I do.
He's on. He's on Detroit, though, so everyone's shying away from him, but I don't care. The man can hit, and I think he does get traded. And maybe to a better team in a better ballpark. We'll see how that works out. Nomar Mazara, because I just want to die with him. Byron Buxton, same thing, and also steals. Ian Desmond, I like the eligibility. Once again, stolen bases. You can see when I was the outfielders, you can see what guys I like because I'm looking for steals. Catchers, I'm all over the place because I don't draft them. I'm not going to have Real Muto and Sanchez on too many of my teams. Not unless I'm screwing around. I want to see what my team looks like. In a two-catch league, maybe Real Muto, who I think has a great season. I might take a shot on him. But that's a big thing of mine. My God, more leagues go to one-catcher leagues. All right? There are not. There is not enough catches for one catch for a one-catcher league, more or less two.
No. I find myself, in terms of catchers, past couple drafts I've done, I've been paying up a little bit for Yasmani Grandal. I think he has a big year for the Brewers. And like you, I'm not going for Sanchez or Real Muto. You have to invest too early. But, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth round, you could get Grandal. I think he's going to hit mid-20 home runs. He's had some decent success in Milwaukee. Part of that, I love the Brewers lineup, and we'll talk about them hopefully before the end of the show. But Grandal, lately I've been getting, and I agree with you with Rafael Devers. He's on two of the three drafts that I've completed. I think he could have a nice season. Third baseman for the Red Sox. All right, when we continue here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Real Experts in the Morning, going to continue breaking down Phillies. Talk a little Andrew McCutchen, what we can expect from him.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Coming.
Oh, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Being brought back by one of George Kurtz's favorite songs, of Phil Collins action.
Absolutely. Love this tune. Love to play this tune while you're like driving home late at night on the road. You got the road all to yourself. Mm-hmm. Just something about this tune here that's definitely my favorite Phil Collins song.
Then you got the drum part. Mike Tyson loved that part of the – what's that movie? It wasn't Bachelor Party movie, but
– I know the movie you're talking about.
You know the movie you're talking about.
The Hangover.
Exactly.
Yeah, Hangover.
Yeah. He made everybody pause, so he heard the drum solo of Phil Collins, a drummer, of course. But, hey, while you are fixated on your college basketball brackets, NFL teams are focusing on the 2019 NFL Draft. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, only at rotoexperts.com. So, George, you were telling me at the commercial that Phil Collins may be touring the area?
He is. It came out. It came out Friday. He is touring the area, and he'll be at the Garden
solo
in October. Yes, it's not Genesis. It's Phil Collins. Mm-hmm. He'll be with his normal group. Collins, listen, he's banged up physically. He's not in very good shape, and he doesn't play the drums anymore. Mm-hmm. He can't do it. His son actually plays the drums. He was very good himself. So I want to go. Tickets, I believe, go on sale next Friday at the Garden. Like I said, I like Genesis more than Phil Collins, and they are different, but they play different types of music. But I do like Phil Collins enough to go see him, and I think it might be the last time he comes around. Man, 68, I mentioned, not in the greatest of physical shape here, so he's not going to play forever. So I will go. I will go to the Garden. Damn it.
I'm interested. Go for it.
I'll make Gabe happy.
I'm interested. Why would you make Gabe happy? Gabe's a big Collins fan, or?
No, Gay doesn't believe I believe my the man Gay. It's so not true, but he thinks people think I live here, and well, I do live here, but I never leave the cave. I leave the cave, but I guess not as much as Gay would like. So yeah, Phil Collins, I would love to go see Phil. I've seen him at least two or three other times, maybe more that I can think of. Mm-hmm. And once again, the Garden is good for me, much better than Barclays. I would prefer the Coliseum, but what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I don't have much problem with Garden. It's easy to get into and out of, just a couple of hour trip for me.
Yeah, I saw Phil Collins with Genesis years ago, and it was a very good concert. I'm interested. I may look into it. So
where'd you see that? I'll
see you there. At the Garden.
Okay, I saw it at Giant Stadium the last time they came around. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if we were at the same concert. Yeah, they were at Giant Stadium. The funny thing about that concert is I went with my wife, and now she was coming up a long shift, but how does somebody sleep through a concert?
Oh, my God, really?
She slept through the concert. And she came up like at least a 12-hour shift, and we went that night, and she was awake the whole ride there, which, once again, it's at least a couple of hours for us to get there, and she slept through the concert.
Yeah, refreshed for the ride home, too.
That I don't remember. Listen,
you have to take it a power nap.
Getting out of Giant Stadium was a freaking nightmare. But whatever they call it now, MetLife Stadium. That was a good concert. That was one of my favorite concerts. That was the last time Genesis came around. And I don't know if they'll ever come around again.
That they were able to play MetLife Stadium. You know, I mean, Phil Collins was, as a solo artist, like one of the biggest acts of the 80s. But Genesis was no joke, too, in the 80s.
Yeah, well, Peter Gabriel, the original singer there, then he left. Mm-hmm. And, people don't know that. Peter Gabriel was the original singer. He left, and they didn't want the band, Mike Rutherford and them, they had no idea, Tony Banks, that Phil Collins could even be a lead singer.
Right.
Phil wanted to sing, and they didn't want him. They gave it just to everybody else. They ended up settling on Phil.
All right, well, let you sing
right
tonight,
move.
But that's it.
Yeah, right. You can't keep going on, but, it ended up being the right move. Even Peter Gabriel admits that Phil Collins sings the Genesis stuff better than he did. And I think that's true, because I kind of like Phil Gabriel's solo stuff more than Phil Collins. I think Peter Gabriel would love his solo stuff. You know, Shock the Monkey, Red Rain, Sledgehammer, Big Time, and all that. I think you go on and on and on with Peter Gabriel. I love his solo stuff, but I prefer Phil Collins with Genesis than Peter Gabriel. And it'll be fun. Like I said, music, going to see live music is always great. So I'm looking forward to this. Next Friday, I'll be getting my tickets.
Yeah. First, I got to get J-Lo tickets.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah,
you get invited to the wedding?
I guess it remains to be seen, you know.
I think I have
a better chance of getting invited than Jose Canseco, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, so.
Talk about someone who feels the need to get his name in the news.
Yeah. Interesting guy. The steroids not only went to his biceps, they went straight to his brain because he's got some issues there. But let's get back to the Phillies.
Just one or two.
Yeah. All right. So we started talking about the Phillies, 80 and 82 last season, 89 over under win total. And Andrew McCutchen, it seems that people, as draft season has gone on, people have been warming up to him a little bit more. Roster Resource projects him to be the Phillies' leadoff hitter. It seems like he's been around forever, 32 years old, just 33 years old. I mean, nowhere near the player he used to be. I mean, when you look first 7 years of his career, 2009 to 2015, 290 batting average, 298 batting average, 22 home runs, 22 stolen bases. That's what he was averaging. But since then, power's still there, but the average, just 263 and 11 stolen bases. I mean, things that... To take from last season, highest hard hit rate of his career, 43.4, and lowest chase rate. So there's still something there, George. Still has some good on-base percentage skills. Has decent numbers at Citizens Bank Ballpark, but going to be hitting in a good ballpark. What are we thinking about Andrew McCutchen?
Well, you may have already said the most important thing. His value is going up in drafts. So if you're drafting this weekend, once again, when you look at those ADPs, they may not be quite so correct for McCutchen, depending on how far you go back. Because, you're going back a month ago, he was being drafted as probably an outfielder three, outfielder four. You could wait till a double digit rounds. Now he's round seven. People are believing now. He's having a good spring. You know, it looks. I think people are realizing he's going to play in a very good lineup in a bandbox. All right? I mean, that ball is going to fly out of there. He's not all washed up. Yes, he has to cheat a little bit to catch up to the fastball. That's true. You know, he does. You know, and that's true of a lot of older players. They have to cheat a little bit. So he will be fooled on some off-speed pitches. But he's going to hit fine. He's not going to be the McCutcheon of old, where he's a top three pick, top throw, right. You know, top three round pick. He's not that. But he's an easy outfielder three. I'll take him. He'll steal you some bases, hit you some power. 2015 wouldn't surprise me. You know, with a good average, I'll take Andrew McCutcheon. I think he's a good, solid player.
I'm with you. Yeah. And that's a good point in terms of his ADP, how it has adjusted. So sometimes you're looking at stale information, but just know that you may have to pay up a little bit more for.
That's why it's a tool. It's not the Bible. It's not the. Listen, I use ADP. You know, I do. But generally, if you're depending on what site you're using, you can adjust the ADP to how many drafts you want to include and the time frame. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it today, 2 weeks is about what I like to go back at most. You go back a month, you go back 6 weeks, or to the beginning of time, they're not as accurate because the players, the information and the values change on these players. Not to mention injuries will obviously change a player. And McCutcheon is a guy, because he's had a good spring proving to everybody he can hit, his value is going up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Reese Hoskins going to be the Phillies' first baseman this season, back to playing his natural position. Deadpool hitter last season, had a 52% fly ball rate as well. Basically, George, we're talking about potential 40 home run power, and we talked about the first base position that it's not as deep as it used to be in the past. Depending on what sites you play on, might take him a little time to get that first base eligibility, but has had an issue hitting the slider, a 161 batting average against for his career, and just 119 last season, having some problems with the curve and the change. But is he a guy that you think that maybe could give you like a 250, 260 batting average and approach those 40 home runs? Are you a guy that you're, based on the first base position being a little shallower, do you have a problem drafting him? You're not avoiding him, are you?
No, he's another guy. When you asked that question earlier about possible NL MVP, Hoskins' name came to my mind as well. Mm. You know, I do like what I'm seeing here. I think, once again, putting him at his normal way, he was brought up first base, I think is a smart thing. I'll never understand why teams, when they have a top prospect, decide, let's move him to a different position. Mm-mm. They got silly. Just silly. But now he's, no matter what kind of prospect you are, no matter how great you're going to be, if you get moved from your comfort zone, it's going to affect you a little bit. Now he's back in his comfort zone. Once again, everything we say about the ballpark, bandbox, blah, 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 great lineup around him, blah, 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 blah. I think he's going to have a fantastic season. The fact that he has outfield eligibility and he will have first base eligibility eventually as well, assuming he doesn't have it yet, which he might in most leagues, it's just a bonus. Just a bonus. I don't think I'd move him to first base. We start five outfielders. Odds are you're going to need him there. But maybe you're deep at outfield, so you can move him to first base. First base is shallow. It could work out there. But bottom line is this. I'm a big Hoskins guy. Yeah, absolutely. Top 10 MVP this year.
All right. Gene Segura going to play short for the Phillies this year. Last year, 304 batting average, 341 OBP, 415 slugging, 10 home runs, 20 stolen bases. Excellent contact hitter, 88% contact rate, just 5.6 swinging strike rate. George, I like Gene Segura, deeper into drafts. I mean, that's somebody you have to invest very early. Could see a little bit of a boost. Maybe he won't hit the 20 home runs like he did back in 2016, but he could see a little bit boost in the power play and in that little bandbox there. 20 stolen bases, 11 caught stealing. That's a little bit of an issue for me, but just in general, if you wait at the shortstop position, I'm comfortable going with Gene Segura.
I'm comfortable as well, but once again, Skura, I want those bags. Once again, I'm getting him for bags more than I am for the power. Although I think the power is fine. And you mentioned the stat. That's not good, being thrown out that many times, because the Phillies could easily go, maybe a different team this year. Phillies could easily go, I don't want you thrown out. You get thrown out, that means Harper doesn't get a chance to hit a two-run homer. Hoskins doesn't get a chance to hit a two-run homer. You know, that sort of thing here. And they may not let him run as much if those numbers don't improve there. So I do worry about that a little bit. Once again, he's also going to a bandbox. Stolen base not as important. The home run is. So I do worry a little bit that maybe those stolen bases won't be there this year. A little bit. Like I said, I'm not shying away from Segura. I do have him in a couple of leagues. You know, I mentioned shortstop, I'm all over the place. And in a lot of leagues, especially the latest ones I'm doing, those shortstops are flying off the board. You know, Bregman's round one. Trey Turner, round one. Sure. Lindor's been all over the place. He was round two. Then he was round one again. And now we hear that he's going to start the season on the IL. I think it'll be a short stint on the IL. But, you know, so he's maybe back to me end of round one, top round two. Machado, same thing. Baez, everybody loves. Story, everybody loves. So, you know, and then you get Segura sort of in this next group with Correa, Bogart, Segura, those three. About where you want to go there. And Correa's getting more love now as well. And I think Segura's falling behind all these guys. Which, like I said, there's no shame in that. Because every player I named is very, very good to great. But shortstop's fairly deep. You go 10 deep at shortstop if you want to throw Torres in there too. So you go 10 deep where you're fine at shortstop. And I wouldn't mind getting any of those guys. Corey Seager, I'm a little bit down on. I just don't know if I trust him yet coming off that injury. Just hasn't had enough time in my mind. But once again, if I get screwed at shortstop and everybody went and I get Seager late, I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm. How about Cesar Hernandez? Do you mind him? Second baseman. He's been averaging 18 stolen bases and 278 batting average over the past 4 years. Kind of a guy that gets forgotten, in my opinion. According to Roster Resource, he'll be batting from the eighth spot in the Phillies lineup. But he had a career-high 15 home runs last season. I was a little concerned. He had a little bit of a scare with his hip injury earlier in the spring. And, you know, you still have, like, Scott Kingery lingering in the background. And he's another interesting guy in terms of, you know, he was battling Michael Franco for the third base job. But looks like Franco, based on what Kingery's done, yeah, I mean, the Phillies believe in Kingery. They gave him that contract extension last spring. But this part of the infield is going to be interesting in terms of you know, how it develops. But it looks like for now, Cesar Hernandez is going to hold on to that second base job. And he's been giving you some decent production over the past few years.
Listen, I like Cesar Hernandez. I do. He's a middle infielder, not a starting second baseman for you. You named the problem as Kingery. And you said it. They do believe in him. That's why they gave him the contract. But it's Hernandez's job to lose right now. But that being said, Kingery's going to play. And when I say this, he's going to eat the Franco's time. He'll play some third base. He'll play some second base. You know, so you won't get a full season out of these guys. But what really worries me about Hernandez is what you also said. Once again, he bats eighth. He's not running. He's just not running. And if you draft Hernandez, you're really driving him for bags again. And you don't run when you bat eighth because the pitcher's behind you. If it's two outs, you're a statue. They do not want the pitcher leading off. You know, so there's no chance you're gonna get a red light there. And that's annoying, to put it nicely, that he's not going to run in those situations. Because generally, two outs, you want the guy to run, get in scoring position for a single. You know, that's where you can score there. But if he's batting eighth, that's going to take away some opportunities there. Plus, a lot of teams are going to pitch around him. You know, two outs, pitch around him. You know, let's go get the pitcher. You know, so it's concerning. I hate having the eighth place batter on my fantasy team in the National League.
Yeah, it's great points that you bring up. And what do you think about Kingery? Do you think that the Phillies might have jumped the gun on him? Or, I mean, does he eventually find a place on this team?
No, I think they definitely jumped the gun here. Listen, if you weren't going to make a spot for him, which they didn't, then why are you giving him the contract? You don't have it second, you don't have it short, you don't have it third. Yeah, I think they jumped the gun.
Yeah. All right, we'll finish breaking down the Phillies. Then talk a little Mets baseball, too. You listen to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.